Our students now, with their hospitality skills, they know how to interact with clients in a luxury boutique, but even in a bank. And of course, this industry offers better work-life balance, better salaries than the hospitality industry. It's the hotel industry who should rethink about how am I going to make myself attractive for the next generation.
Welcome to The Turndown. This week, I want to introduce you to Claire Jolau. She's the assistant dean at Swiss Hotel Management School. You could argue it's another hospitality school, and we're going to talk about the future of hospitality, etc. But, you know, truth be told, this is not about hospitality schools or hotel management at all. This has become a conversation around event management, management styles, and how to overcome headwinds, how to prevail. It became a conversation around customers and customer relations and what it means to service. So I can't wait for you to discover Claire. And I promise you, there are some really, really cool stories in this episode. Claire, welcome to The Turndown. It's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for joining the program.
Thank you very much for welcoming me. It's a pleasure, an honor.
Oh, no, the honor is all mine. Claire, I want to dive right into it and I guess ask you the ominous question. What is keeping you up at night these days?
Nothing. I'm a very good sleeper.
That's excellent. You're calling us from Switzerland, right?
Yeah, I'm from Switzerland and I'm a good sleeper because I will be 45 this year. I am in charge of two campuses of two schools, international school in Switzerland, overviewing 500 students, managing directly 45 academic and administrative people. And I just realized that to do that, I need to be emotionally stable because my schools are boarding schools. We are dealing with students coming from all over the world, 50 different nationalities, so plenty of emotion, plenty of conflict, potential conflict also. And also among our staff, we have a lot of different nationalities, different type of background, and you have also the daily life. And what I've noticed is that in order to be good at my job, I need to have a self-discipline, a very important self-discipline, meaning that I go to bed early, earlier than in the past, and also wake up earlier, and I do my 30 minutes of stretching, yoga, thing like that, and that is very important. I just realized that to be able to maintain this rhythm and also to be able to take good decision and not decisions that are based on stress, based on anger, based on, sadness or whatever, you need to have this discipline. At least I need to have it. So I'm trying to manage to sleep well, and I need my 8 hours per day.
So what time do you go to sleep, if I may ask?
10 p.m. the latest, sometimes 9.
Okay. And then the yoga stretching happens at what time in the morning? 6 a.m. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And one of the things that I just woke up and one of the things, I don't switch on any telephone. Because if you start to switch on the telephone, you are, taken by the real life. And this is really my 45 minutes of not being connected with anyone on the planet, including my husband and my son who are sleeping.
I should do the phone thing. I should leave the phone. I do a similar routine in the morning, but I do have to walk my dog because she will put her nose into my face and say, I want to go. I catch myself looking at the phone after the dog walk before stretching and doing 15 minutes of yoga, because we sit on a chair all day and that's usually not a good thing.
Yeah. And one of the things is we spend too much time using our brain and not enough our body. And all the emotions are linked with your body. And this is quite recent that I don't switch on the telephone. Because of course, like a lot of people, my alarm clock is on the telephone, right? So I have my telephone close to me.
Sure.
And but that's when since I've started to do that, I can see really that I'm way more I'm quiet, you know, in the morning. I'm not starting to think about, oh my God, because if you open your telephone, you are going to look at your emails, you have your WhatsApp, you have plenty of things, notification and so on. And then you're not anymore with you. You are with somewhere else. So yeah, that's what I've implemented, and it works pretty well.
Claire, I want to rewind the clock a little bit. How does Claire get to the role that you're occupying now, taking care of 500 students, boarding students, right? Help us understand your trajectory up to today.
That's even myself. I'm surprised. It's really fun because I had lunch with a friend. I mean, the sister of a good friend of mine. We went to school together, and so I did the same school than her brother. And it's a business school in France, a good reputation. So
Paris
from academic perspective, I worked very well in high school. I did my you have national, a competition to enter this business school. My goal was to work in marketing. And what happened is that I was part of the, not the students union, but, in France, you have what we call the Bureau des Élèves, which is, students who are ambassador for the others and organize a lot of things. And I start to organize a lot of events. Even the welcome seminar with a lot of students, and we were 15 friends organizing events, party, excursion for 500 students. And this is how I discovered that I was doing events planning. I didn't know that it was that name. And it was about 22 years ago, something like that. At that time, there was no school about events. Yeah. There was no master in events, something like that. And I did one of my internship in events for a car company. And I love it very much. And so I started my career not in marketing, but in events planning. And first in different companies, and then I had my own events agency. And I worked during 10 years in fashion show, film festival in Cannes, organizing a seminar for companies worldwide, a lot of weddings also. And I loved very much that industry. I love making people feel good. I love creating memorable activities or events. And I like to do things with a sense. From something that I was feeling that I was impacting positively people's life. A bit less with a fashion show, to be very honest, but. But all the corporate events and the private events, it was really that. And after, 10 to 12, 15 years working like a crazy on evening, on a weekend, on bank holidays, and because, of course, you organize things when people are enjoying their time off, so you're organizing for them. I just wanted to start a family, to have a different work-life balance. I was lucky because I met my boyfriend 20 years ago, and we stick together during that time when I was all over the world. And we decided to move to Switzerland because we were French and we were based in Paris, and we wanted to explore a new country, but not to go far from the family. And this is how I step in the hotel school in Switzerland as an events teacher. So I started as an events teacher in Caesaris colleges in Switzerland. And I started also to train myself into education because I knew about events, I knew about marketing, but I didn't know about how to teach to people. So I started to study that. I got another master. So I got a master in marketing and now a master in education. And in the meantime, I got my first position as a program manager. So I was in charge of the hospitality program for Caesaritz. And then I moved to another school in Montreux called Hotel Institute Montreux. I became assistant dean there. And then 3 years later, I moved to Swiss Hotel Management School as an assistant dean. And now I came back to HAM that has been converted into a business school. So I'm the dean of HAM Business School in Montreux and the assistant dean of Swiss Hotel Management School in Caux-sur-Montreux, which is really in the same city, but yeah, 10 minutes apart, where the two campuses. So that's a story, you know? And when I was speaking to the sister of my friend at lunchtime, she told me the same question. How come you moved from events to here? And I said, well, there is the same thing about impacting people's life. Education is all about that. It's helping one or 500, it depends on the day, students to grow, to build their confidence, to develop their own potential and what they want to become, and to put this hospitality touch, which for me is very important. And that is why people will also, like I felt when I was doing events, is to find a sense, you know, in what they are doing. They think they feel meaningful when you are hosting someone, you are taking care of a stranger in a hotel, or you're organizing an event for this person, or if you are in a school, in an international school, when you give to someone, you receive twice more.
Wow. I kind of want to stick around events before we go into education, right? Because you have such a wealth of experience and understanding of this. And I do think, especially in hotels, events is a big component of why people travel, right? Or why people stay in hotels, why they're going places, why they're attending a conference or a convention or, you know, a film festival, which are like... As you sort of think about the events that you've hosted, that you've organized, et cetera, what were maybe some of them that went completely sideways? Where you're like, oh my God, nothing was out of control. And, you know, I want to start maybe with a bad experience where you're like, this was the worst event ever.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. So, you know, enlighten us.
No, I have two events that came to my mind. One was not a real fun one. At that time, I was working for a company that was providing tents, infrastructure, you know, also furniture, lighting, and so on. And we were working...
So rental equipment.
Yes,
rental
exactly, equipment. Exactly. Okay. And, it was, I think it was during the film festival. Yeah. So I was based on this in the French Riviera, and we were during the Cannes film festival, you have plenty of things that are happening all over the place. And, so we were all over the place. And at that time, I had within my company, I was not the boss. I was, one person in charge of events, you know. My boss had a conflict with the team who was in charge of, you know, setting up all this big structure and thing like that. And it was tough conflict. And what happened is that the person who was in charge of setting up everything decided not to show up. And so we had to find solution but as we were already, you know, not understaffed, but there were so many events at the same time, so many things to set up. And I was working for a very prestigious events agency in Paris, and I've worked with them before, so I had excellent relationship with them, and it was really a catastrophe in terms of logistics internally. It was not because of them; it was also because the project we had to set up was maybe too ambitious, and at that time we have a lot. It was everything was outside. We had to set up a stage on a swimming pool. I mean, it was windy like crazy. So first of all, the condition were really bad. And secondly, we have this internal conflict. And I remember it was crazy. And I was always, you know, I'm a very optimistic person, especially for in events. You need to be optimistic and you need to be solution driven, not focusing on, oh my God, you need to find a solution. But in that moment, finding a solution, I have to face the fact that I was no solution. And I think I was still quite young. I should be 25 or 20, 27, something like that. And I was, I started to panic. And I remember I called my father. And I was in my car and I was saying, what am I going to do? And I was almost crying, you know, because it's normal. In events, you always have to cry. You know, when I have my students coming back and crying, you say, oh, well, welcome to the world. And I remember he told me, okay, now you are going to get out of this car. You are going to face your client and you are going to say to your client that you're not going to make it because your client needs to find a plan B as soon as possible. And even if it's not your responsibility, what is happening, because you are just the one in between, you must go and face that. It's at least what your client deserves, you being honest. So I did that. And the client was furious. And of course, he was upset against me. And I think he's still upset against me, which I'm not very happy with because it was not my fault. But of course, he told me a few years later, you are the image of this moment telling me this, you know. So that was, not a nice moment. But I believe I learned something from that. I learned, first of all, to face a client and to face with a bad news, a very bad news. And even if it's not my responsibility, but at this moment, the client doesn't care about whose responsibility is. He needs to find a plan B. And also to now, as I'm in charge, I'm a manager, to take care of your staff. And not to let, especially when you are in, you know that you are going to be a very intense, period of work and you need to make sure the people will follow you. That's important. So it's important to clear the problem before or to tell them to we will clear after, but not to let the situation getting worse and worse because at the end, they are the client and the reputation of the company, but also the reputation of the other people like me. You know, my own reputation was impacted by that. So that's the bad, very bad one. But the funny one, not that funny, but...
Hold on. Before you go to the next one, what was the plan B? Did they have to cancel the event? What happened?
To be honest, I don't know. To be honest, the client was so furious that I just left the place. It was in a very beautiful hotel. In France, it's 5-star hotel. Beautiful facilities. So I believe they decided, and once again, the weather was really bad. So even if we would have managed to do something outside, I believe they have to do a plan B inside in any case. But I didn't know what exactly they did.
You were not part of that.
They're asking, to be honest. I was so ashamed.
Okay. You had a funny example.
Yeah, the funny, at the beginning, it doesn't look very funny neither. I was organizing a seminar on the French Riviera for the cosmetic brand called Nuxe, and they were inviting all their sales representatives worldwide. Okay, so we are 200 people, more or less. It was a long time ago, so there is no disclosure. I can continue on that. And the goal was the first day, everybody arrived from different countries. People are jet lagged, so we're going to do something very cool by the beach, you know, relax, flip-flop, you know. Okay. Really not, really relaxed. You know? And was supposed to, the second day, we were supposed to have the world conference, the workshop, the gala dinner. Everything was going well, and my client told me, we need to leave by 11 p.m. the latest because, you know, some people coming from Japan, they are jet lagged. I said, okay, no problem. So a few minutes before 11, I went to see the bus driver to make sure they were there. And then at that time, I received a call from the marketing manager who stayed at the hotel because she was 7 months pregnant. And she said, I need to relax, be ready for the day after. And then she called me and she said, oh, I'm happy to have you in the phone because I've tried to call all my colleagues, but nobody is answering. I said, yeah, well, they are having champagne by the beach, so I'm not surprised. Because in events, you know, it's only the event planner who doesn't drink, but all the others are drinking. Wow. And she told me, well, there was a bomb alert in our hotel and I'm in the street in pajamas and I don't know what's going on. So I said, okay, first of all, how are you? She said, I'm okay. I'm a bit shocked, but it's okay. I said, in front of the hotel, I knew there was a small hotel. with a few rooms. I say, you go directly to that place, secure a room for you there, because I don't want you, you know, to give birth to your baby. It's a bit too early for that. So go there and I will deal with the rest. She said, what are you going to do? I said, don't worry, I would find a solution. At that time, I had no solution, to be very honest. And I remember me and the communication manager, if she still remember that moment, I came to see the communication manager with a big smile on my face. And I sat close to her, still a big smile. And she asked me, are we going back to the hotel? I said, well, not yet. And I explained to her. And to make the story short, we couldn't go back to the hotel with all these people. When I arrived, so I said, okay, I'll let you with some of my team members and I go to the hotel. I need to speak to the director to see how it goes. Hopefully, it was a Pullman. So it was Accor Group. And first of all, when I arrived, it was, you know, the police, no, you can go, you cannot go. And I said, well,
of course,
I need to speak to the director of the hotel. And the police, no way, no way. And I said, well, whether you let me speak to the director of the hotel, whether I have four buses full with 200 people, and I will put them in front of you. It's okay, go and speak to the policeman.
Nice.
To the director. And what we figure out is, first of all, we need to know if we have to let the people wait by the beach with a bit more champagne, and within 1 or 2 hours it will be sorted out, or we have to wait. And we had to wait because they had to send the dogs, you know, to check the whole hotel. And I think it has changed, but at that time the dogs and their owner were in Marseille, which is 2 hours by car from Nice, from Cannes. So there was, I said, okay, we need to find a solution. And we found a solution with, we called another director, but of Ibis. So, you know, Ibis, it's a premium, not even not premium, it's a 3-star hotel. So not the same range that Pullman. And of course, they didn't have enough bedrooms, single bedrooms for everybody. So we end up with bringing everybody to that hotel, organizing the room the way we can. Of course, with some people, we don't know each other. In flip-flop, no pyjamas, nothing. And few people were a bit stressed, but at the end, at 1 a.m., everybody was sleeping. And we reorganized
everything. At the new hotel,
exactly. I mean, but I was thinking, you know, oh my God, people would be super upset tomorrow morning because, of course, it's not a woman, you know, and what an experience to start. Yeah. My client, they will never work with me anymore. And the day after, we reorganized everything. We started a bit later in order for the people to go back to their bedroom to, you know, change clothes and to, brush their teeth. And then the day went very smoothly. We did a gala dinner. Nobody was saying anything. And we conclude the event the day after, nothing. And the year after, I was again doing this seminar with mostly the same people in another location. And this time they came to see me, some of them, and say, are you going to plan something fun like the Bombardment like last year? I say, what? Of course, they knew that I didn't plan it. But they say, honestly, the way you find a solution, you found a solution, we saw you were doing your best to help us, you and the director of the hotel. I mean, we couldn't complain. It was not your fault. And I like to share this story with my students because it shows that even if there is something big that you can't control, always try to do your best. Always show that you are caring for people, caring for their well-being, for their safety, and you are doing your best. People can't complain about that. You know, they can complain about the person who did it because, of course, it was a fake alert. There was no bomb at all. You can complain about this person, but you can't complain about people who are trying their best. And it was a good also lesson for me because I just realized that that people, they are smarter than we think sometimes. And they go beyond what is obvious. Oh, we have an issue. We cannot sleep in our bedroom. But say, oh, wow, this girl, she managed to find a hotel for all of us at 1 a.m. Well done.
Nice. Nice. That's a great story. I want to talk a little bit about what you're teaching in your schools, right? And especially you know, there's been so many things happen in the last 5-10 years, right? Like everyone is talking about AI. I still wonder at times why, but okay, fine. Let's talk about AI, right? Everyone is talking about labor shortages, yeah, about digitization, about, God, what happened to us? We had a phone that was invented by Steve Jobs that changed the life, how we communicate, how we engage, etc. So, you know, the traditional, I guess, way of managing hotels, the traditional ways of booking and shopping for travel has changed significantly in the last 20, 25 years. So I'm curious, what trends are you observing with changes to the curriculum? Like how is your school adopting to the changing landscape? And I know it's a mouthful of a question, but
I would say that especially if we think about SHMS or Swiss Hotel Management School, for me that is a real hotel school. We didn't change that much, to be very honest. It doesn't mean that we are old-fashioned, or maybe we are proud of being old-fashioned, but our students, they still learn how to serve guests in our fine dining restaurant. They still go in the kitchen to learn how to, you know, the safety measure in the kitchen. So that's the starting point of their journey. And, you know, they learn, the first thing they do, they have a pen and a paper, they draw the table and they identify the lady first. So that has not changed, and it will not change, because at the end, when we think about luxury hospitality, we think about taking care of people. And it could be fun to be taken care of by a robot from time to time, but at the end, people love connection with human beings. However, of course, we have we are teaching. Well, for example, we are using cloud beds for the checking and the online system. We are teaching artificial intelligence. We have a robot in Leza, in our campus in Leza, where students learn to do the programmation and to interact with the robot and to see. And it's, we have this robot, it's to teach them a few things about it, but also to challenge it. Do we need it? When do we need it? Is it something fun? Yeah, but then people love novelty. So, but once they have seen it once, then after what? Are you going to be amazed every day when you see the robot in the corridor? Maybe not. However, if someone is smiling at you every day, that will make your day every day. And this is a bit what we have in our philosophy. Our values are be a role model, learn the rules before breaking them, and be a proud hotelier. And the learn the rules before breaking them, it's all about that. It doesn't mean that we are not into technology. We are the only hotel school in the world that is Apple distinguished. So you are speaking about Steve Jobs. We give iPad to our students as soon as they arrive. We're using plenty of app, but we always go back to the basic at the beginning. Is that why are you doing that? What is the extra value for the client? Is it going to make your life easier because then you save time to interact better with the client? Or is it going to save time, but then you don't interact with the client? Because at the end, you need to be customer focused in the hospitality. Speaking about labor shortage, yes, there are some routine, some jobs that can be optimized by the technology, artificial intelligence, but the technology, let's say, and that will help people to save time to do their real job. That I fully agree with. And then, of course, it depends on the level. If you go in a business trip, economic hotel, you maybe don't want this personal interaction. You just want to check in and check out by yourself as quick as possible. You're not here to make friends. You're not here to have a great time. You're just here to sleep because you have your next meeting very early the next day, and that's fine for you, you know? And in that sense, even for the staff who is working in that hotel, it's maybe not very fun, not very fulfilling to interact with this type of guest. So yes, technology can help at that level. However, if you speak about luxury, it's human being, it's connection. It doesn't mean that you don't use artificial intelligence. So we have a course at HAM Business School in our luxury specialization called High Tech and High Touch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is something very important, the high touch. And what is interesting is with this, the fact that we are using so much the technology, when you have people who are available to speak, to smile at you, we are even more amazed. And there are skills that people are losing step by step. COVID didn't help, for sure. And that's why our students in hotel school are more and more demanded by other industries. And that goes also with the labor shortage. Because the thing is that the hospitality industry, I would say the hotel industry, needs to improve the work-life balance, the working condition to stay or to become attractive. Because our students now with the hospitality skills, they know how to interact with clients in a luxury boutique, but even in a bank. We are working a lot with the bank sector now. And of course, this industry offers better work-life balance, better, salaries than the hospitality industry. And I think what more than the education that needs to rethink, it's the hotel industry. We should rethink about how am I going to make myself as an industry attractive for the next generation.
Lots to unpack, but I think sort of in paraphrasing what you just said, the rest of the, I guess, business community has discovered hospitality schools as a source of great talent, number one, right?
Okay.
And it is a lot of the social skills that are taught at these hospitality schools that are attractive to them, allowing them to source, I guess, quality employees. And because they're willing to offer higher salaries or greater compensation, better work-life balance, suddenly hotels and hotel companies are competing with other industries for the same talent pool.
Exactly. So there was already a labor shortage, but
sure.
Now it's getting, I would say, worse, or let's say the best profile or the highly demanded. Yeah.
So let's fast forward, right? I mean, you and I probably travel quite a bit. I don't recall the last time that I actually went to a gate agent to check in, right? Mm-hmm. Like physically check mm-hmm. in. Like, I don't remember that. I was recently traveling from Montreal to Europe via the US, and I didn't even have to show my passport anymore to anyone because it was completely biometric. Like the customs agents, they took a picture of me and knew exactly who I was, and I was basically kept through. How soon until, I guess, the role of the front office will be completely different from what it used to be? Because I feel like we used to train, especially in hospitality, this is how you check in, this is how you, you know, administer guests a registration card, this is how you enter the guest preferences and data. A lot of this is moving to the Apple device that mm-hmm. that you mentioned, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you as a consumer, you, Claire, Sebastian, as a traveler, we are in control and we're communicating directly, potentially, with the hotel, what we want, how we want it, et cetera, et cetera. Is that going to continue to evolve, in your opinion?
Yes, but if you look at, once again, for me, it's, using the technology is not an end. It's just a tool to make the customer experience better. And if the mm-hmm. customer experience is not good, then you will start losing clients. And for example, and this is not with hospitality, in France, in the supermarket, you have all, you know, this automatic machine that you do everything by yourself, you know. And I like them very much because when I go to the supermarket, you know, I want to make it as quick as possible. I'm not here to interact with people. I just want to do my stuff and to, you know, it's not a place for me of interaction. However, in France, and now there is a new trend opening places where it's called, in French, it's called the blah blah place. So basically, blah blah means chit chatting. And you have at that place a person who is taking care of your item, but also is here to talk with you. Because you have some people who are alone at home, and you know, maybe they don't work, they are retired, and a plenty of reasons. And they want, when they go to the supermarket, it's an opportunity for them to interact with people. Okay, I personally interact too much during the day. I just want to but interact with people. And maybe this is the thing, when you travel in a hotel, in the airport, you might want to interact with people. You know, you want to make it as quick as possible because you are traveling a lot. Okay, but for other people, it's maybe one trip of their life, and you know, this is where they want, or they are afraid, is the first time they're not used as an international airport. They want to be taken care of. You know, and this is why we need to take into consideration that everybody has different reasons why they go to that place, to identify that and to offer that, to offer both options. For the person like me at the supermarket that who doesn't want to interact with anyone, go to the automatic one. For the person who wants to interact with someone, because it might be the only person that would be in interaction of the day, go to that place. And for hotel, it's the same thing. For the luxury hotel, I've noticed more and more also the way that they are welcoming. They are using the technology to save some time to properly take care of the people. And instead of, you know, welcoming, for me, it's more about also the design. We have a design specialization at SHMS on purpose because, you know, when you arrive and you have this big desk and you have a barrier between the people. You know, you are welcoming with a screen and a table. So it's not very welcoming. When you welcome friends at your place, you don't welcome them through a screen or through a table, right? You are opening the door, say, hello, I'm happy. And let's go in the sofa and have the apero, right? It's more or less the same thing. In a luxury hotel, you have some hotels that are changing that are taking care of people. And yes, they have the iPad in their, with them, but they are really interacting. And I believe this is something, and they can see it also if the person they have in front of them really need a proper welcome because it's expectation, or if the person wants to make it quick. And you, as an hospitality professional, you can feel that. A computer can't feel that so far. We'll see. But this is where I really believe that the technology, if it works to improve the customer experience, yes. If it doesn't work for the customer experience, it's better to have a human being.
You're referring to reading the body language of a traveler to understand, you know, how to treat and engage with that customer. Is that fair?
Yeah.
I know we're running out of time and I could probably continue for another hour, but I do want to pick up on one thing that you said, which is about work-life balance, right? And I think that's something that hospitality has for probably decades not known to be great at, because travel happens 365 days, 24/7, right? It doesn't happen just on weekdays, or it doesn't happen Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, right? Like, travel happens pretty much everywhere. What can hospitality, in your opinion, do in order to create a better equilibrium, or, you know, balance, if you will?
For the employees, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
A work in progress.
Okay.
I think first there is a misunderstanding of this new generation when we believe they don't want to work on a weekend. It's not true. They can be very hard worker. We can see when we organize events, when they have to organize events, you know, and we organize, you know, serious events. You know, we have ambassadors coming, we have the TEDx conference. So it's really big things. They are there working day and night, you know, because they are passionate about what they are doing. So I believe one of the first things that the hotel should do is to explain to the person what is the job, but not the hard skill, you know. But for me, for example, as a client, the most important person in a hotel is a person at the reception. Is a person who is going to welcome me? Is a person who is going to say goodbye to me? Is a person, if I have an issue, I'm going to call? I don't care about the general manager. I don't care about the marketing manager. I don't care about the finance manager. So let's put a bit more the light on the people who are on a daily basis with clients. Who are the one who make the reputation of your place? Because without these people, your finance manager will take care of nothing, you know? So this is also a change of mindset. It's really to put the light on the people who are on the front line. And I think this is something. And when you put the light on these people, they feel also empowered. They feel important. They feel proud of what they are doing. And then they can do the extra mile. The second thing I believe is that, yes, if you are asking people to work on a weekend, you need to make sure you compensate in a nice way. So maybe you don't make them work on all the weekend. And you have to give them a plan about what is going to happen for me within 6 months, within 1 year. Might change, but at least there is a plan. Because one of the things that scare the most of people is to, and especially this generation, is to be stuck in one place. And if they don't see what they can do after, that they will be worried. If you tell them, and I'm okay, sometimes they are not very patient, they need a bit to learn about resilience. But if you tell them within 6 months, we are going to review your schedule, your position, your benefits, why not? And this is, once again, I believe, and I'm not the only one saying that. A few years ago, Mr. Bazin from Accor said that he said that we didn't take care of our employees, you know, and we are paying back now. That's reality. I would say this, put the light on the front line, first of all. Then secondly, training the people and also giving them a proper plan of evolution. And I believe, and that doesn't go into what we are doing, because we are doing, we are training people here on a bachelor or master level. But I think there is a room for training people with maybe lower education, but will be very happy to enter this industry. And it used to be the case, and it's still the case in many hotels, that you have people who are starting like housekeeper or maintenance, and step by step they are trained and they are growing up. We just need to go back to that, and also to encourage the hospitality leaders to share their passion. You don't go to the hospitality because you are going to be wealthy. No, can't be rich, you know, except the minority, you know. People are going to hospitality because it's the same thing. They want to feel that they can impact someone's life. Because they are looking for a sense of meaning. And this generation, the Gen Z, is also something very important. Their values, ethics are very important for them. And if you are showing that to them and you are showing how they are taking care of by their employer, but also how they can impact the others, they will follow you to the moon.
Why don't we end on this? On this note, I think this is a great way of wrapping things up. Claire, thank you so much for joining me today, for sharing your insights, your experience, your wealth of, I don't know, stories that you probably have. We could probably continue for at least another half an hour, but thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing you at some point.
Well, thank somewhere. You very much, Sebastian. And I hope that next time you will be with me in Switzerland, and we will have lunch or dinner at our fine dining restaurant, and then you will see the new generation passionate about hospitality.
Thank you for listening to The Turndown. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in next week as we discover new exciting guests.